that your desire, let's stand and sing it this evening. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. And as I lift my hand to worship, oh, if that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. From the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. Oh, if that Spirit dwell in you, yes, it will quicken your mortal body. Oh, if that Spirit dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Why don't you grab your neighbor by the hand and shake it this evening? Dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. Oh, if that Spirit dwell in you, oh, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. And oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be. Glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forever. forevermore. Oh, glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs. Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, oh blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As we go to prayer, Brother Hoover turned this in and said, Steve Davison is the pharmacist that he rents his office from, requested prayer for his daughter-in-law, Brittany Davison. She's 32 years old and had surgery on Monday for a brain tumor that was surrounded by blood clots. She has been feeling ill and having difficulty speaking for 3 weeks. Things escalated last weekend, and they decided to do immediate surgery after viewing the CAT scan. So definitely want to remember her in prayer. And we have an unspoken prayer request for Sister Teresa Sargent's nephew. So if you have a need, you want to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. Amen. God bless you, Brother Trevor. Would you come and take these needs to the Lord? Amen.
Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered in your name, the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realizing, Lord, that it's not just because we've assembled together that makes us Christians, but Lord, we come to honor you. We come to worship you. We come because we've had an experience in our hearts, Lord. And Father, I'm just struck right now that if there are those that are coming and just having church, Lord, not received that baptism of the Holy Ghost, have not had that new birth, have not really had that experience to let them know that this is a personal walk with you, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts this evening. Lord, that tonight would be the night that it would stop being religion, that it would stop being church, Lord, and it would become their very life. God, we need you so much more. Father, this friend of Brother Hoover's, Lord, very serious, Lord, and the operation has happened, Lord, and Father, they're just waiting for her to wake up. But Father, you sent your servant, Brother Hoover went, and he prayed, Lord. And so we're just believing together in faith, Lord Jesus, that you'll work a miracle in this person's life. Lord, we're totally incapable of doing anything in this situation but to bring it to you, the great I am, the one who can. Oh, the great way maker. Lord, would you come and touch that young lady, Lord, and work a miracle, Lord Jesus, that you might receive much glory, Lord Jesus, that all would know that there's a God who's alive and well and that he's worshipped at the Church of the Open Door in New Albany, Indiana. Oh, God, not because of us, but, Lord, we just long and desire, Lord, that we could show forth your glory and show forth your truth. That you're real, that you're alive. Oh, God, work in our lives, Lord Jesus. May we forsake all and give everything to follow you. Father, come, grant these requests, Lord Jesus. Meet with us tonight, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This chorus on my heart today, and just help me, we'll just sing the chorus tonight.
There is a land I'm homesick for. got loved ones there waiting on that shore. There is a land. Oh, and it's not a million miles away or on some far off distance. Tonight, oh, there is a land. Oh, Lord, I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore.
There by the graveyard, and I don't know, some politician said, Brother Bill, did you keep your religion through losing your wife and baby? And he said, no, my religion kept me. Thankful for that old-time religion. Help me sing it tonight.
It's that old-time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. It's good enough. It's so good I want no other, for it makes me love my brother, and it brings things from undercover. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old time, let's stand, old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. It was good in the fiery furnace. It was good in the give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Well, it's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. It makes me love my brother. It brings things from undercover. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. It's that old-time Holy Spirit. That old devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. Oh, but it's good enough for me. Just give me that old-time religion. Old-time. Thank God for that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Well, it was good for Paul and Silas. Aren't you thankful for it tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in church again tonight together. Amen. In spirit and truth to serve the Lord. And looking a little rainy on the outside, but it feels pretty good on the inside. So, amen. We're hoping that it's not just physical raindrops that falls on the outside, but that the Holy Spirit will rain down on the inside tonight. And that we'll just have an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel again tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And last week, Wednesday, we had looked at a thought on the spirit of a giant. And I want to look at that again tonight with the help of the Lord. And as I had mentioned, Monday morning of last week, I had a dream right before I woke up that morning. And in the dream, there were just some things going on after a service that I had ministered at in the dream. And when I woke from that, it seemed like the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, the spirit of a giant. And so I wanted to look at this thought. And I initially planned on going a little bit different direction tonight than we will. But maybe we can look at that next week if the Lord so leads. But felt led to kind of keep going down the path that we looked at last week. So I wanted to look at this again together. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. And I'm going to read a lot of different names in the scriptures tonight. So just be patient. Bear with me. That means you, Brother Trevor. the way I pronounce my words and things, just bear with me tonight. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, looking at this old familiar story that, Lord, most of us have heard since we was little children, but, Lord, just feeling led to go down this path tonight, and I just ask that you'd be with us, Lord. Give us what we have need of tonight. No doubt there are many needs represented here this evening, but, Lord, we're thankful that we serve a God that, Lord, your arms are not too short, neither is your eyesight too dim, Lord, that you're not able to reach down and help us whatever the need is, whatever the situation. Lord, not only as us in our humanity, Lord, maybe we would try to help one person at a time and do what we could, but Lord, as an omnipotent and omnipresent God, Lord, there's services going on around the world right now in different areas and different time zones and different locations. But yet, God, you're still present there right in the midst with them just as you are with us, because you promised wherever 2 or 3 were gathered together in your name that you'd be in the midst. So, Lord, it's hard sometimes for our human minds to wrap around the fact all the prayers going up and all the worship and songs and services, Lord, that
how that you're able to be there and be in the midst and be anointing there just like you are here. But Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, if you can do all of that, Lord, then we know tonight, no matter how many is present, that you can minister to those needs and encourage those hearts in a way that only you can, Father. And so we just commit this service into your hands, Lord. I ask that you'd help us as individuals, Lord, to draw closer to you throughout the service, Lord. And may we just go out of here saying, didn't our hearts burn within us as you talk to us along the way? We'll give you the glory and the praise for it, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. The scripture tells us here that David was the youngest of eight sons, and he also, if we look a little further in the scriptures over in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, we find out that he had two sisters as well. Their names were Zariah and Abigail. And so we find that he came from a big family, and his dad was well stricken in age. He said he went as an old man in the days of Saul. And yet we find that David, even though he was the youngest of this family, even though no doubt in the eyes of his family up until a certain point seemed as though he was the least in the family, seemed like he didn't have a very important part to play. Here his older brothers had gone off to war, and they were in the battle. They were soldiers. They'd had training. They had armor and military tactics and all kinds of plans for their future. And yet this young little man that was with the sheep, just guarding the sheep by himself out in the wilderness there alone, yet we can look at the life of David. Maybe it was hard for him at the time, just as no doubt it's hard for us many times to see as we go along life's pathway and at certain moments in our life. Maybe it's hard for us to see the hand of God at work at that exact moment, but as we look back down life's pathway and we see his hand guiding and leading and moving in our lives, we can see his presence and his guidance all along through our life. Different things that seem so unimportant at the time, little details and things of our life that we look back and we think, my, if God hadn't did this thing over here to get us over there and be at a certain place at a certain time, maybe we would have never met our spouse, or maybe we would have never got the job that we had, or maybe we had never come to the message, or maybe we would never have been in the certain geographic location that we're living in, or whatever it would be, or going to a specific church. But because of the providence of God, not only in our life, but down through the ages, looking back and seeing our ancestors, and maybe some of you, you know, unless you're a Native American Indian, then I guess all of us came from somewhere else besides here if we go back far enough, whether it was Germany or Ireland or Scotland or wherever your family came from. We came from somewhere. And so we can look back and see the providence of God through different wars and dangers and different battles and different natural disasters, that God would protect your family and bring them out of certain areas and bring them to this country and raise them up and protect your lineage so that you could be here tonight. And we can see that in the life of David, that God's predestinated plan followed David's life, and so many things at the time that maybe seemed so insignificant to him, maybe even seemed like a trial to him at the time, but yet God's predestination was putting David at the right places at the right time to get the experience and the qualifications that he needed for the journey that was ahead for him. We find that as a young man, he was gifted as a musician and gifted as a songwriter, yet maybe there wasn't very many people that really appreciated his gift here out in the middle of a wilderness, sitting there with just some sheep to listen to his songs. And they probably didn't appreciate the songs the way that we do when we go back into the scriptures and we can read the Psalms and begin to see what God was doing in David's life, and how that even though thousands of years later, yet the anointing of God's eternal word on this young man as he would begin to pen these songs, it gives inspiration and encouragement for us for the battles that we're facing today. But yet David didn't know that there was going to be some 4,000 years later a group of people sitting that was going to be encouraged by his writing. As far as he knew, nobody was hearing it, what he was saying, except some sheep out there. And maybe it got discouraging at times, and maybe it got lonely at times. And I hope you can just read your name right in here, even though we're talking about David tonight. And yet God had his hand on this young man, was anointing him, and was leading and guiding him to something, for a perfect plan for his life. And David, maybe he couldn't recognize it at the time, because maybe he seemed so unappreciated, and maybe it seemed like nobody cared. But yet God cared, and God was doing something for this young man out in the wilderness. And God would protect him when there was nobody else. His older brothers weren't around, and his daddy wasn't around, and the army wasn't around. And yet he would find times when a lion and a bear would come up against him. And under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I don't think it was just David's skill as a sling thrower, but yet he was depending on God to protect him when there was nobody else out there to watch over him. And so David takes a little stone, and he's been given a commission to watch over God's sheep, and he's out there in the wilderness by himself, and a lion comes in and grabs one of them. And here, in his own ability and his own strength and his own size, he's no match for the lion. But yet God placed something down inside this young man, a courage and a strength, and most importantly, a dependency on God. And he reaches and he grabs a stone and places it in his sling, and he goes after this little lamb that the lion has in its clutches, and he brings it back safely to the fold. Maybe he didn't know how it was going to turn out, Brother Wade. Maybe he didn't know what was going to take place. Maybe he thought, hey, this may be it for me, but I'm not going to let Satan come in and take one of God's sheep away from me. Oh, man, sometimes we don't know what the outcome will be, but all we know is we want to stand on the word with everything that's within us. Amen. We don't want to compromise, no matter how unpopular it would be, or no matter what comes or goes, no matter what it is, as long as we've got a breath in our body, we want to stand for what's right. Amen. When Satan would come in and try to attack our young people, would try to pull them away from God or pull them away from the message, when Satan would come in and try to attack one of these sheep that's in our fold with sickness or with temptation or whatever it would be, when he tries to rob them of their financial security, or when he tries to rob them of their peace or their victory, I don't want to just stand still and say, well, I guess that's just the way it is, but I want to take that slingshot of faith that Brother Branham talked about and go after him. Amen. Not because I'm something, but because he's everything. Amen. I'm not depending on my ability. I'm not depending on being able to figure it out, but I'm depending on the same one that David was depending on. A bear would come in and try to do this, and God would protect him again. Once again, David didn't maybe know the outcome. I don't know that God had showed him a vision of what it would be, but yet with confidence in his commission, he takes a little stone and he takes that same slingshot and he begins to go after this bear, and he brings it back again. Now one day he's out there and he's by himself and he's maybe discouraged. Maybe he's felt the presence of God anointing him to write these songs and to do these things and to have these great victories. And he's out there. Brother Gabe, he doesn't even have anybody to testify about to it except some sheep. And they just sit there and nod their head and chew some grass and look around, you know, a little bit. And he felt like he was going to explode probably, Brother. Man, God's doing things for me out here and I don't have nobody to share it with. And so God would allow something to take place to where Saul would begin to get away from the perfect will of God, and now a prophet comes walking down the road to Jesse's house, and he's got a little horn of oil with him that he's bringing to anoint a king. And Jesse doesn't have any more idea about it than David did. Samuel doesn't know who the man's going to be. All that he knows is he's going to anoint somebody as king. And he walks down the road, and here comes all these sons of Jesse up before him, and he goes to anoint the eldest, and God rejects him, so don't look at his stature. Oh, sure, he looks like a king. He walks like a king. Sure, he could wear the king's crown, and Mike could wear the king's clothes, and he's a big man like the king, but I've rejected him because I'm not looking at his outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. Oh, there were many that, as far as their physical stature or their mental abilities or things like that, they would look like giants compared to us. Why would God choose a little humble group of people, maybe not highly educated or maybe not highly intellectual, maybe not the smartest people in the world or maybe not the strongest people in the world? Why would God pick a group like that and reveal an end time message to them? Because God doesn't look at the size or the stature or the intellect, but He looks at the heart. Amen. He looks for that seed that He placed down on the inside of you. He's not looking to see how much you can memorize, and that's not to knock memorization. I thank God for the ability to memorize scriptures and quotes and things to say back to the devil when he comes up against it. But hey, if it's just in memorizing, then the devil's got us all beat. And there's a lot of intellectual people with photographic memories that would have us all beat. But God's not looking at your memory. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at the seed that He placed down inside of you, not sometime at an altar. I know brothers don't agree with this, but that's all right. I'm going to preach it anyhow because it's how the prophet of God taught it and how the Word said it. You wasn't saved sometime at an altar, nor was you saved when the breath of life came into your physical body, but you was saved before the foundation of the world. God looked down through time and He saw who you were and what you would be. Amen. If He didn't know that much about me, then He's not God, but He's God tonight. And He knew where you would be tonight. And He knew what your end would be, just the same as He knew what your beginning would be. He could look down through time and choose a David and say, that's going to be my king. Before there ever was a Saul, before there ever was a Samuel, before there ever was a Jesse, God already knew that this man would be anointed as king. And so Samuel goes down, he begins to look around, he can't find anybody to anoint. And he said, oh my, isn't there somebody else? He said, well, we've got just this young one that's out there with the sheep. He said, bring him here. And so they bring him and he begins to anoint him. Now David has been anointed as king by a vindicated prophet. And yet it would be years and years and years before he ever steps on the throne. Even after he slayed his giants, even after he's done all these things, it would be years of hiding in the wilderness and years of trials and tribulations and being pursued by Saul and his army, the very man that he had risked his life to save him and that army. Oh, you don't think the devil ever got on his back every once in a while, Brother Hoover? And said, oh my, you should have just let them all, you should have let one of them other guys go out and fight the battle and they'd all be serving the Philistines and there'd be one less Israelite in the camp because Goliath would have took his head off. But here you risked your life and you depended on God and you took a stand for the Word. And what did it get you? Oh, here you are out here hiding in caves and the very army that you delivered seeking to destroy you. Oh, I'm sure the devil got on his shoulder every once in a while and gave him a hard way to go. But he was called and anointed and ordained of God. And he comes down the road there. And here he goes. He didn't walk up to the palace and knock on the door and say, Saul, I'm here to take over. But he goes back to the sheep. Anointed as king by a vindicated prophet. And he's out there playing on his stringed instrument one day and writing these psalms. And a man happens to walk by and hears it. And now this evil spirit that's got on Saul begins to torment him. And he's in a bad mood all the time. And finally somebody said, hey, in the days of Elisha it worked that when the minstrel came and played, the Spirit of God would come upon him. Why don't we find somebody that's anointed to play that can bring an atmosphere where Saul can get back in the presence of the Lord? Oh, I know that's not popular in our message ranks today. But Brother Benham said, if you can't be the prophet, then be one of the minstrels. He said, if you can't play an instrument, just play one of these 10-stringed ones and bang them together. He said, oh my, the Spirit of God came down on Elisha there when they was beginning to beat the drums and play. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Amen. That's what the prophet said. Amen. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but I just believe it tonight. Amen. Said when the minstrel began to play, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so there happened to be a man there that had been walking by one day and seen a sheep herder playing a psaltery, which was an Old Testament guitar. If you've seen a picture of what it is. Amen. And David said, praise him on the stringed instrument. Praise him on the harps. Praise him on the loud sounding cymbals. And praise him with the trumpets. And praise him with the cornets. And praise him on everything that hath breath. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, I think the problem of it is sometimes we get afraid to praise him. We're afraid, what will the neighbor think? Or what will this one think? Or what will Sister Susie sitting in the other pew think of me? Oh, you know, David, he didn't have that problem. He said even his wife began to look at him and say, oh, what a holy roller. He said, hey, you think that's something? Just watch. And around the ark he went again. Hey, man, we need some more worshipers that aren't ashamed to worship God. Hey, man, I'm not ashamed. As long as I've got a voice and a breath in my body, I want to worship him with everything that's within me. David wasn't afraid to worship, and here he is on the backside of the desert with an old psaltery beating away at it, singing, maybe the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And this man walks by, he thought, goodness gracious, that man's anointed. I've never heard anything like that. And so now, here he is in this situation. He says, hey, I know a man that's skilled. I know a man that's anointed. I know a man that can play. And in all this time of David out there alone and feeling isolated and feeling alone and feeling in danger, yet God was using it to train up a young man. Amen. Sometimes we look back at our life and we realize things that seem like we struggled and seem like we wasn't getting any traction and seem like it was just one step in front of the other and then one step dragged backwards and back and forth and we didn't see a lot of progress maybe, but God was doing something to train up children. Amen. He's a child trainer. Amen. I can look back at things in my life. I can look at Brother Trevor and I, Brother Anthony and Brother Stephen and different ones sitting in a nursing home. I couldn't hardly play a guitar, Brother Layton, and they just had to bear with me to figure it out as we went along. But God was training up some young men. God was training up some brothers to do something. Amen. Didn't look like it was much back then. Didn't look like we was accomplishing much, but God was using it. God was doing something. Amen. That's not just for 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. God's doing something for young people right now. Amen. Not just in this congregation, but if the Lord tarries, there's young people around the world that if time goes on, they'll be the ones that will raise up and be the young men and the young women of the next generation. Amen. God, give us some more Davids. He goes in, he begins to play this music, and he creates an atmosphere in the king's palace. You can look back and see the predestination in David's life, how that God would move in a mighty way in his life. See what God did for him. See where God brought him from. And now he hasn't even faced his first giant yet, but God is beginning to do something. Now the Philistines come up against them, and Saul sends David back to the house of Jesse. Three of his brothers come and are fighting in the battle, and no doubt Jesse needed somebody to come back and help a little bit at the house. And so he sends David back, and they go into the battle, and they get out there, and here comes a giant to make a challenge. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. He came out of a morning and made a challenge, and he came out of an evening and made a challenge. Isn't that just like the devil? Just about the time you get up in the morning to say your prayers, he begins to attack you. And just about the time you get to wind down the day and say your evening prayers, the devil begins to attack you. And he begins to distract you, and he begins to upset you, and he begins to put everything in his mind that he can, and the phone begins to ring, and the children begin to get upset, and everything that can go place. When you start to talk to him, the enemy comes in to try to make a boast. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now for 39 days, he had got away with it. But it's about to be the 40th day, Brother Lee. Show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. 1953, he said, that's the way the devil does when he thinks he's got the edge on you. He'll sure blow like an old goose. You ever heard an old goose going over? Honk, 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 honk. Sounds like a lot of people that have crept in around the message. Days of miracles are past. We don't need this. We don't need that. That was just for this time. That was just for that. That was just for some other age. Oh, my. You going to let him just holler and blow like an old goose, or are you going to take a stand for the Lord? When the devil thinks he's got the edge on you, honey, the doctor said this, and this situation over here looks pretty bad, and this over there and that over there. When the enemy has the edge on you, he'll blow like an old goose, and he won't just use a Goliath. He'll use Saul's, and he'll use your brothers, and he'll use everybody he can against you. You see, David was not just facing this giant that was discouraging him, but he goes in and he tries to give his testimony to a backslidden king, and the king says, hey, David, you're just a youth. You can't go against him. You don't have any armor. You don't have any experience. You're just a youth and you're a warrior. Here he is, a warrior from his youth. Saul was trying to discourage him. His brothers, who he had taken the time to bring cheese and bread and things to, all the way over through the desert and the plain up to the valley here, now they say, oh, you're just naughty and you're just here to cause problems and you're just here to try to find out what's going on and make a name for yourself. Honk, honk, honk. Blowing like an old goose. Oh, my. When the devil thinks he's got the upper hand, he likes to just go on and on, use anybody that he can. But a real, true child of God, doesn't matter how much the rest of them honk and moan and groan and go on, they'll say, hey, I believe God's word anyhow. I believe he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. This great warrior, David, 1955, so he boasted like that for 40 days. Did you ever notice 40 is the number of temptation? Certainly is. Moses in the mountain for 40 days, come back and was tempted. Jesus went into the wilderness 40 days and was tempted. 40 days of temptation, reigned 40 days and so forth. 40 is God's number of temptation. Now, this giant has come, and for 39 days, he has given his boast, and there's not been one man to challenge him. He's come out there every day and said, bring me a man. Bring me somebody. There's no need for all of us to die out here. There's no need to get into bloodshed and all of us wipe one another out. Just bring me a man and let me fight him. Oh, of course, the biggest, baddest guy in the bunch wanted to stand up and challenge somebody. But the biggest, baddest guy in their bunch was hiding in a tent, scared to death, his knees rattling in his armor. And here comes a little shepherd boy with a little sling wound up in his pockets. And here he comes. He didn't even have any stones in his pocket. Just had a sling wound up. And here he comes along. He gets to the camp and he sees this man come out the 40th day and give his boast. And that time, Brother Branham said, the boast fell on the wrong ears.
Hallelujah.
1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. A little boy, no experience as far as military, no armor, as far as physical brass and metal and gold, no shield as far as a physical one, but he had the sword of faith and he had a helmet and a shield that they didn't know nothing about. And here he goes out. He says, don't let any man's heart fail him. I'll go and fight this Philistine. Everybody else was scared to death to go. And as we looked at it last week, no doubt, Goliath got upset to see this little boy come out there. And instead of it being the biggest man in the army that they picked to come and fight him, here they picked the smallest man that was in the group that wasn't even in the army to come and fight him. Amen. What an insult it must have seemed to Goliath. He said, is this the best that you got? You have all your spears and your swords and your brass helmets and your shields and all this, and all of you coming out here to meet me, and all your military power and all your experience, and you send a boy with sticks and stones after me. He said, I'll feed him to the birds. What is that in thine hand? 1955. He said, little David turned around, said, you mean to tell me that you'll stand and let that uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God? Do you mean to tell me that you'll stand in the midst of a world, communistic as it's getting to be, and atheistic as it is, and let them infidels stand up and say there's no Jesus Christ, and that his word's not right, divine healing's wrong? He says, not while I got breath in my body. Oh, let me just say tonight, in the face of everything going on around the world, going on in politics, going on in our nation, going on in global politics, and all they're trying to weed homosexuality in everywhere, and trying to weed abortion in everywhere, and trying to make everything that you can think of illegal. You know, I read an article in the news the other day that said a certain country has made it illegal, Brother Trevor, to declaw a cat. That's inhumane, but they still allow abortions. oh, don't declaw a cat, but, you know, legal assisted suicides and things like that, that's okay. Kill a human, kill an infant, kill an unborn child, whatever you want. Oh, but don't declaw a cat. How pathetic. You say you shouldn't talk about those things in the pulpit. Hey, as long as I got breath in my body, you better get used to it. Hey, man, I'm going to cry out about sin, whether it's in Church of the Open Door or around the message or around the world or in politics or whatever it is. God is crying for men to stand up in the watchtower and say, hey, there's trouble coming down the way. There's trouble coming down the line. You better get ready. Hey, man, Satan tries to creep in so subtly. Says, oh, it's okay. This isn't that big a deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Oh, they had sat there for 39 days, and his boast, no doubt, had become more and more and more common to him. Well, after about 15 days in, they knew what to expect. We're going to go out, and he's going to make the challenge. We're all going to line up at the bugle call, and we're going to stand on this side of the mountain, and they're going to stand on that side of the mountain, and a giant was going to come out and defy the armies of the living God and blaspheme against God. And about 15 days in, it probably got to be pretty common to him. Just another day in the army. I wonder if that's how we've got around the message sometimes. We've allowed Satan to beat us down and beat us down and beat us down. And oh, we don't want to be politically incorrect, and we don't want to offend anybody. So we won't take a stand with family members, or we won't take a stand with family or friends or whatever it is, because we don't want to get unfriended on Facebook, or we don't want to get uninvited to Thanksgiving. Well, boo-hoo. Amen. It's time that we have some Davids that'll take a stand. Amen. I'm not talking about just going and meddling and causing trouble. I'm talking about when somebody is blaspheming the Lord or taking and saying things that's contrary to what we've been taught in the message in the Bible. If they're bold enough to say it, then you be bold enough to stand for what you believe in. Amen. David didn't pick the fight, but he certainly finished it. Amen. David didn't go looking for a giant. A giant came looking for David. David didn't go with his Bible and say, hey, I'm here to prove everybody wrong tonight. I'm here to do this and I'm here to do that. But when the enemy made the challenge, he didn't say, well, we don't want to offend the Philistines. We don't, you know, they've been our neighbors for a long time. We don't want to say anything that would offend them. But they had stood out there so long and heard the cry of the enemy blaspheming God and saying things that was contrary to what they had taught, and making fun of Jehovah and making fun of their religion and making fun of this and making fun of that. And they stood there and heard it long enough that 39 days in, it didn't even faze them. They just got out there. They knew nobody was going to accept the challenge. But here steps a little boy to the front line and says, excuse me. Anybody see a problem with this? Anybody see something wrong here? I mean, I know you all have been here a lot longer than I have, and I know you've been in the army longer than I have, and maybe you've heard the challenge more times than I have, and maybe you're just numb to it and used to it, but there's something in me that when he makes statements like that, it begins to stir up something inside of me that I don't want to accept the enemy just to run over us and run over what we believe, but I'm going to stand for something. God, give us more Davids. He said, no, nobody see a problem here? This uncircumcised Philistines defying the armies of the living God. Hey, God protected me against a lion and a bear that they didn't blaspheme his name. They didn't make fun of our religion or make fun of us as a nation. They was just coming in with their own natural animal instinct. They was hungry and they was coming after some food. But God stirred something up inside of me that said, I don't have to sit there and take what the devil's trying to give me. And I rose up and slew a lion. And I rose up and slew a bear. And that was just a flesh and blood affair, but now we're talking about a spiritual battle that the enemy's coming in and making a challenge, and you all don't have a problem with this? Oh my. And it came to pass, verse 48, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He wasn't hiding in a tent. He wasn't pacing back and forth, biting his fingernails, saying, oh, Lord, I hope you're still the same. I know we quote it and I read it and I hear it all the time, but Lord, I really hope you're still the same, because I don't know what I'm going to do if I get out there and make a fool of myself. I guess my head will just be gone off my shoulders. He wasn't worried. He had seen God in action before, Brother Arnie. He had seen God in action under much less stakes than this. He had seen God in action when all it meant was just one Israelite and one sheep's life. That's all that it meant. Now, the whole army of Israel standing there, getting ready to go into servitude to the Philistines if he loses this battle. The name of Jehovah getting ready to get smeared by the Philistines and say, see, their God couldn't deliver them if he couldn't defeat this Philistine. And he didn't back down and cower and say, oh me, oh my, I don't think I'm able to do it. He ran towards his giant. He ran towards the army. He ran to meet the Philistine. You see, the rest of the army, they looked and they did what most of us do, if we'll be honest with ourselves. What did Brother Ben tell us? I know I quote it all the time, but I'm going to keep quoting it till it gets down on the inside, underneath the fifth rib, as Brother Ben would say, down into the depths of our soul. He said that time and sight are the worst enemies of God and divine healing. And we look like David. We're not like David. We look like the rest of the army did if we're not careful and think, goodness gracious, that's a huge giant. I mean, I've heard of giants before, but that's a giant. I've seen some Ben Wrights, but that's a giant. And we begin to look at the symptoms. Goodness gracious, even if I could get to him, where would I get to him? He's got brass all around him. His helmet's thick, his spear's so long I'd never get into him. We begin to look at the symptoms. We begin to look at the sight and the seeing and think, goodness gracious, what would I do? Go up and chomp on his ankles a little bit? I don't know how to even get up to him. Amen. God's not dependent on you to get up to him. Amen. Let God put the stone in the hand of the Lord one time and let him do it. Let him do the work. And if we're not careful, we begin to look at the size of our Goliath versus the size of our God. See, Goliath looked pretty big, but David had seen what God could do. Goliath looked pretty strong, but David had seen the strength of the Lord. Goliath looked pretty smart, but David had felt the wisdom of God come down upon him. And so he wasn't looking at the size of Goliath. Oh, to compare. Now, if he had compared himself to Goliath, it would have looked impossible. Little bitty shrimp, Brother Bam said, curly-headed mama's boy going down there. It would have looked impossible. But he wasn't comparing himself to Goliath. He was comparing Goliath to God. See, that's where we go wrong sometimes. Well, I'm not as good as Christian as Sister So-and-so, but I am a better Christian than Brother So-and-so, so I guess I'm doing okay. And we try to compare ourselves with everybody else and their spirituality and their faith and their walk with God. But oh, don't look at everybody else and compare. Don't look at whatever. Oh, well, the sickness is pretty bad, and the doctor says this medicine won't knock it. My sickness is too great for the medicine, and my sickness is too great for the chemo, and my sickness is too great for scientific discovery. And but stop looking at all that. It's not too great for God. Stop comparing your sickness to medicine and doctors, and stop comparing your emotional problems to what the psychiatrist told you, and compare them to what God said he could do. Oh my, stop comparing your financial situation to somebody else's and depend on God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills anyhow. Amen. I'm not preaching prosperity tonight. I'm preaching that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Amen. He didn't promise me a Ferrari, Brother Layton. If he did give me one, I'd turn around and sell it. I promise you. I'd buy me a house and give to the poor or something. I don't need a Ferrari tonight. He didn't promise me a Ferrari. He didn't promise me a $3 million home. But what he promised me is I will provide all your needs. Amen. I'm not rich tonight. Hey man, I don't have a Lamborghini in the driveway. I don't have a 60,000 square foot house, but all my needs are provided, Brother Furman. I got clothes on my back. I got vehicles in my driveway. I got a roof over my head. My kids have health. They have, oh my, he's provided all my needs, Brother Hoover. Hey man, he's kept his word. There's been many times that I haven't kept my end of the bargain, but he's always kept his end. Hey man, there's been many times I've failed him, but he's never failed me. Oh, they were looking at the size of the giant, and David was looking past that at the size of God. See, that's the problem that happened with the 10 spies when they went out there, and they sent out 12 spies, one from each tribe. When Moses began to enter over, when the children of Israel was getting ready to enter into the land, and Moses was getting ready to go up on the mountain and pass away, and they sent out some spies to check it out, and they come back and said, goodness, 10 of them said, it's true. The prophet was right. Amen. God sent a prophet. We believe it. He's right. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. The word is right. We love that message. We believe it. But it's too hard for us. It's too hard. We can't do it. Now, if God would just leave the prophet with us, and we would pass over Jordan, we know he brought us out of Egypt, and we know we'd be okay. But he's getting ready to go up on the mountain and die, and it's just too hard for us. We can't do it. There's giants. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And there was two that came back packing some grapes. Sure would have been nice if you other 10 would have helped us, but we brought some evidence back. Amen. We brought some evidence back. Oh, not only was Moses' word true, but we're more than able. Amen. They wasn't looking at the size of the giants. They was looking at the size of the grapes. No matter how big your giant is tonight, God is bigger than your giant. No matter how big your trial is tonight, stop comparing your own ability. Stop comparing your knowledge of the message or your spiritual condition. Stop comparing that to your sickness and your finances and your battles and your troubles, and compare it to God one time. Amen. I don't care how big. I say that and people take me wrong, but I don't mean I don't care. I don't sympathize with you. I'm saying it doesn't matter how big your trial. It matters how big your God is to you. Amen. If you've put him back in history somewhere and he's just a God of David or a God of Moses or a God of Paul or a God of Brother Branham, that won't do you no good today. But your God, if he's a present tense God tonight of Hebrews 13:8, then he's able to do the same for you that he did for David and he did for Paul and he did for Brother Branham. God is bigger than your giant. This great warrior David, 1955, the battle's on. The Philistines are standing there. Goliath has made his charge. Watch him go down. So here goes David. Goliath makes his challenge, and here he starts. Walking out there. And all the Israelites trembling in their boots or their sandals or whatever they had. Here he goes down. Here little David just comes running down the hillside. They say, that guy must be crazy. That guy is nuts. Doesn't he see the size of the obstacle? Didn't he hear what that giant said? Didn't he hear how the rest of the army was afraid? Didn't he hear how everybody else gave up? Didn't he hear how it didn't matter how much Saul promised money and wives and his daughters and to be the son-in-law of a king and all that? There's nobody that would go out. But here goes David. Like Sister Patty the other night. Just as fast as he could go down through there. And here comes Goliath. Amen. His size might have matched David, but his speed couldn't match him. Watch him go down. So here goes David. He reaches down, looks there, and looked up Goliath up and down like that. But beyond Goliath, he saw the victory. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. He saw Goliath standing there, but he wasn't looking at Goliath. He was looking past him. Amen. Don't look at your trial tonight. Look beyond the trial. Don't look at your circumstance tonight. Don't look at your symptom. Look beyond the symptoms. Look beyond the symptoms of the promise of God. Amen. Stop being discouraged. Stop talking negative. Look beyond Goliath to the victory. Amen. Amen. He looked Goliath up and down, but beyond Goliath, he saw victory because he trusted in God. Oh, I hope somebody catches it tonight. Amen. I hope somebody can look beyond their mountain, can look beyond their trial, can look beyond the giant and see, hey, there's victory right around that. There's victory beyond that. I've been scared of that, but that's just my path to victory. That's right. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. We'll get ahead of ourselves a little bit here if we're not careful. Let me wait on that. Here comes David down through there. Flying down through the armies. Flying down through the valley. And he gets down there and he gets in stone throwing range, Brother Jimmy. And he gets out that rock out of his pocket and he begins to. Brother Bram said it picked it up, and you can say that he was exaggerating, or you can say that the Holy Spirit got a hold of the stone and took it, or whatever you want. All I know is there was a dead giant. Hey man, I have no problem with the speed he said the stone was going. Somebody said if he would have missed Goliath, it would have went around the whole world and came back around again. Well, I'm glad he hit Goliath then. Amen. Amen. You want to argue with the prophet? Why didn't they argue with him when he was in the prayer line? He said, come down. If I'm wrong and you're right, you come down. You come down and you take my place. You discern some of these that are here sick in the prayer line. What? Why didn't they challenge him then? All a few of them tried. They packed them out. Just like they did Goliath. That stone sunk into his head. He hit the ground. David didn't even have a sword in his hand to take the head off the giant. But, you know, he knew better than to leave him laying there. My, that's the problem with us. Sometimes we come up and we get prayed for and we ask for deliverance and we ask for help and we ask for that. And then we go back out and we get down by our giant. I'm sorry, giant. Come on, you know I didn't mean it. You know I didn't mean it. I just got under the anointing in there. I come back, Goliath, come back. I'm not through with you yet. Take the head off of that thing. Oh, I'm feeling good tonight, Brother Jimmy. Yeah. Bring me a giant. Amen. Goodness. Take the head off of your giant. Don't leave him around and try to revive him and let him resurrect. Brother Bram said, just as sure as faith will kill that disease or whatever it is, he said, unbelief will resurrect the thing. Don't leave him laying there and try to give him resurrection power. Take the head off your giant tonight. You say, Brother Nathan, I've been struggling with this since I was a teenager. You just don't know what I've been through. You don't know my family lineage. You don't know this. You don't know that. You're right, but I know God. Amen. I know he's bigger than your giant. He's bigger than your temptation tonight. He's bigger than the battles in your path. Amen. He's bigger than the things you face at your school and at your job and alone in your bedroom at night when the enemy comes and torments your mind. He's bigger than that. Stop looking at those things and look to him one time. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now here, there's still a whole army left, Brother Ben. A whole army. Some of his brothers probably in the midst. He had four brothers that are giants. I was trying to get to that tonight, and it don't look like we'll have time to. But he had four brothers that were giants, and they was all five the son of a giant. And here, they all flee. Brother Bam said in Portland there, he said, the greatest devil is unbelief. And he said when that man came, that maniac, and made the challenge, he said, and those other demons saw that that enemy was defeated, that the captain, their captain of those demons was defeated. He said people stood up out of wheelchairs, crutches was thrown down. He said everything in the building was healed. Why? Because they recognized Goliath was defeated. Oh, my. What can he do in a service like this? Amen. What do you have need of tonight? Amen. He's here. Why don't you just accept it tonight? Their champion was dead and they fled. You get to preaching the word like this and the demons run. The Bible said that he sent his word and healed them. Brother Branham teaches us. You can go back and look it up, or I can find it for you if you don't have the time. He said when the preaching of the word goes forth, he said the devil flees. He said the preacher never healed you. He cast the devil out of you so that you could receive your healing. Amen. So I believe, you know, I like what I believe it was Brother Aaron preached on tormenting the devil. Amen. I think that's our problem sometimes. We let the devil torment us, but we don't realize this. We're the ones supposed to be tormenting him. Amen. That's what the purpose of the Son of Man was. It said there in the scriptures that the Son of Man was come to destroy the enemy, to destroy the devil. Amen. And he's equipped Son of Man in this age, children of God, sons and daughters of God that are supposed to go out and destroy the enemy. Don't let the enemy destroy you, but destroy your enemy. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. Oh, they was having a Holy Ghost Pentecostal meeting. They rose and they shouted. Here they were just a few minutes before, trembling in their boots. They didn't have any courage. They didn't have any gumption. They didn't have anything that was, you know, telling them to go run out there like David did. But as soon as they see this giant fall, courage took place in the rest of the army. And they realized, hey, if God can do that through a little young boy, what can he do through me? If God can do that through an untrained man, what can he do with us with spears and swords and helmets? And they took off after their enemy. Amen. The giant fell and they realized, hey, if God can do that, Amen. That's why we get in some of these meetings like we've been having. You see demons being cast out, and you see people being healed of things that they've been sick with for years, and you see people being delivered of things that they've struggled with for years, and getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we begin to realize, hey, if he can do it for them, he can do it for me. Amen. Let's keep the devil on the run while we've got him on the run. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sherem, even unto Gath and to Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from the chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Now they're coming back, and the enemy's gone. They're going through their tents saying, goodness, look at this. This is silver, and this is gold, and here's some coins, and here's some nice clothes, and here's this. And they're spoiling the enemy's tents that had come to oppress them. And then God just turned the situations around. And it didn't just become a victory for him. It became a little bit of a financial blessing to him. Sometimes we don't see the big picture. And we look at the circumstance and we look at the giants and think, there's just no way. There's no way around this. There's no way. I don't see how. I don't see how either many times. But I'm not dependent on my see how. I'm dependent on his know how. Amen. I'm dependent on his ability. I don't have to see it. I understand it all before it takes place. I can just look back. And I have a little bit, you know, I don't claim to have the most faith of anybody in the world. I don't claim to have the most wisdom of anybody in the world. But one thing I do have that God has blessed me with is I've seen what God has done in the past. And so that's bred some experience in my life that when I come up against something else, I can look and say, hey, God did this back here. He's able to do this one. Amen. He helped me cross that bridge. He can help me cross this one. He helped me with that giant. He can help me with this one. Amen. Same God. That's what David did. That's the only way David could face a giant. He looked back and he said, hey, he helped me with the bear and the lion. He can help me with this one. Amen. Oh, my. The second miracle, 1951, like David of old, he couldn't slay all the Philistines, but if he could only kill that boaster out there, Goliath. Amen. He didn't come and pick a fight with the whole army. He just knew if he could just slay Goliath, it'd breed some courage in some other people to see, hey, look what God is doing in this age. Look what God can do through a many-membered bride. Hey, let's take courage and go. I thank God for a prophet in this age. For a sheaf that was waved over us to show what God could do in this age. So that we could recognize that the days of miracles weren't back in Bible days, but the Bible days were here again. That we could recognize that he wasn't just a God of history, but that a prophet of God was on the scene to raise him up out of history. Amen. Take courage tonight. You might not be able to slay all the Philistines, but you just slay your giant and see how it'll encourage somebody else in your family to say, hey, I remember what he used to be, and look what God's done for him. If God can save that rank old sinner of a boy, he can save me. If God can give him victory, if God can heal her as sick as she was, why have I got to worry? Amen. Take your giant tonight. He couldn't slay all the Philistines, but if he could only kill that boaster out there, Goliath. And so when Goliath was slain, all Israel took courage, and away they went. They beat the Philistines plumb back to their gates. Yes. Oh, goodness. Don't lay down your sword tonight. Don't get weary in well-doing. Go and do what God has placed in your hand. All he had was a slingshot. All Moses had was a staff. You may not have very much. You may not have a whole lot of knowledge. You may not be able to quote the message like some of these minister brothers can. You may not have seen the dead raised in your ministry, or you may not have seen some of the things that some of us brothers have seen in prayer lines and things in your own life, but do what you have. Amen. Do with what you have. Take what you have and run with it. If all you got is a... Brother Bram said, you know, different ones would go out there and they'd feel a call to their life, whatever it was, song leader, minister, whatever it was. And he said they'd send him off to some cemetery. Or he said, oh, I'm sorry, seminary. He said, well, same thing. And indoctrinate him for about 10 years. And then when they got out of there, they were so weighed down with all this ecclesiastical stuff, like David trying to go fight in Saul's armor, and he couldn't hardly take his leg up. How was he going to run to the enemy with all that on him? Right. Brother Bram said, if you can't tell nothing else but how the fire got lit... Tell that. Amen. Tell somebody how the fire got lit. Tell them what God did for you. I sat at lunch on Sunday in fellowship with a family that started coming to the church recently, and all we did was sit there and talk about how the fire got lit, how we heard about the message, how it came down, how the predestination of God brought it into our families. Three of us sitting there sharing the testimonies of what God did to get us where he's at today. Yes. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful. Amen. It was wonderful. We didn't have to work nothing up, Brother Ben. We didn't have to. It just telling how the fire got lit. It was wonderful. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you don't realize the impact that can have on somebody's life. Amen. Let me read you this last quote. We'll skip part of this and maybe pick it up next Wednesday. But let me read you this one. The great warrior David, 1955. Where's the Goliath? Who's the Goliath, Brother Branham? That cancer that's eating you up. That's right. That tumor that's hanging on you, them cataracts on your eyes, that crippled arm. Everything looks at it and says it can't be done. The devil says you might as well quit believing. You might as well settle down because you can't never no more get well. Your doctor said so. All the rest of them said so. You can't get well. But the Christ that made you stop your drinking, smoking, lying, stealing, that saved you from a life of drunkenness, from rowling, from sin, and the devil's great, if God can do that for you, he can save you from your TB and your cancer. He's a Goliath. Don't take his bow. Stand in the name of the Lord Jesus and challenge him to a showdown. He say, amen. Hallelujah. I feel religious. Amen. Why don't we stand tonight? Maybe the enemy's been making some challenges in your life. Maybe you've heard him like an old goose honking and honking and honking at you, telling you you'll never make it. You'll never get your healing. You'll never get your victory. You'll never come through this valley. But why don't we stand in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight and challenge him to a showdown? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're not David, but you're still God. Amen. Lord, we stand tonight like David of old. Brother Branham said he would go down after those six sheep with a slingshot of faith. And that same slingshot of faith that was able to deliver him from a lion and a bear was able to deliver him from a giant. Lord, we stand here tonight with the slingshot of faith in the Word of God. Not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, we're depending on your Word tonight. Lord, we're not depending on our strength or our size or our ability against some giant that would face us. Lord, we can look that giant up and down and see that we're no match for him. But Lord, we're not looking at the giant tonight. We look beyond the giant to victory. We see you standing there victorious over him. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Victorious over sickness. Victorious over family troubles. Victorious over family problems. Victorious over emotional scars. And victorious over things in our life that the enemy would try to bring against us and drag us down with. Lord, we see you victorious tonight. We look to you. We look to the promise. Lord, like David, we stand and say that the battle is yours, Lord. It's not by the sword. It's not by the spear. It's not helmets of brass. It's not quote wars. It's not being able to figure it all out. It's not being able to prove somebody wrong. But it's you, Lord. The battle's yours. We're depending on you tonight, Lord. May that slingshot of faith go out and anchor deep in hearts. May it drive back every giant of unbelief, every giant of circumstance, every symptom, every fear, every worry. Lord, may you come through victorious over everything that the enemy has tried to bind these people with tonight. Lord, may their giants fall to the left and to the right of them. May they go out of this building tonight victorious, Lord. Because your word prevailed over whatever it is in their life, Lord. When the word went forth, they begin to hear and accept by faith that the same God that could deliver David is still victorious tonight. Lord, the shout of the king is still in the camp. There's still victory. Amen. May we look past the giants that try to face us to victory tonight, Lord, I pray. Be with each one, Lord. May they receive it. How many like to slip up your hand tonight while we still have our heads bowed and say, Lord, I accept victory over my giant. I accept victory over the things in my path, over the trials, over the battles that I'm facing. I don't have the ability over it, Lord, but I'm looking beyond my giant to the victory. I'm looking to you. I'm dependent on you. I accept victory over my giant tonight. I accept a personal victory, not the pastor's victory, not the deacon's victory, not some other age's victory. I accept victory for me as a personal possession tonight. I accept victory. Thank you, Lord. We accept it by faith tonight, Lord. Lord, may it be unto them according to their faith. Lord, every hand that was raised, we accept it by faith tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Brother Ben, come and help me sing it tonight. You feel the pull tonight?
Oh, I feel the pull. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit.
I feel the pull.
Feel his presence here tonight? Amen. He's able to deliver, to heal, whatever you have need of tonight. I believe his presence is here. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Oh, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. When he's an on-time God. was down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Oh, glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. And I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. And there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, was the blood. Fountain so rich and sweet, and cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Just plunge in today, made complete. Oh, glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. I'm so glad I have entered in. Oh, there Jesus saves me, keeps me clean. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of God.
Bless you. It's been wonderful to be in the house of the
Amen.
Lord. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, oh, I'm leaning. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we're dismissed. Oh, yes, I'm leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. I'm leaning on Jesus, safe and secure.